Hello and a very good morning. You are listening to Market Minutes. I am Shailaja Mahapatra. Today is Monday, 17th of April, and we will be putting the spotlight on the first set of bank earnings from Wall Street since collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, a disappointing Q4 show by Infosys, HDFC Bank's stellar earnings performance in the quarter gone by, why Z Entertainment Enterprises should be on your radar today, and in Voice of the Day, we have Vinay Sharma of Nippon Mutual Fund who shares his pecking order in the financial space. Let's get started. JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup and Wells Fargo on Friday came out with their earnings for the first 3 months of the year, making billions more than what Wall Street analysts had projected. JP Morgan, for instance, reported strong revenue in most parts of its businesses, helping it post a profit of $12.6 billion in the first quarter, which was 52% higher than the year earlier. Citigroup, United States' third largest lender, reported a profit of $4.6 billion in the first quarter, up 7% from a year earlier. And Wells Fargo increased its net income by more than 30% to nearly $5 billion. This was great news for investors whose confidence was shaken after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in March. Most smaller regional banks will not report results until later this month. Meanwhile, the good numbers by larger banks are a reminder that many customers have developed a strong preference for larger institutions that they believe to be safer and more stable. In fact, JP Morgan also pointed out that loans had been steady in the quarter and that customer deposits had slightly risen from the last 3 months of 2022, with inflows picking up in particular after smaller depositors pulled out their money out of smaller banks. The Dow notched its fourth straight positive week, rising 1.2%. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq clocked their fourth positive week in the last 5 weeks, setting the stage for Wall Street earnings. Back home, Infosys came out with its numbers and it was a disappointing set. The country's second largest IT services company's net profit grew only 7.8% year-on-year to 6,128 crore rupees. Consolidated revenue grew 16%, but both the top line and bottom line were lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis and missed street estimates. Operating performance was even weaker, with EBITDA margin falling 50 basis points to 21%. The company's ADR, or American Depository Receipt, plunged 10% after the results. The performance of Infosys shows how quickly fortunes change in a business. Just last quarter, that's during Q3 results, Infosys had increased its full-year FY23 revenue guidance. The management said in the press conference this time that the company's performance was hit by a combination of unplanned project ramp-downs, delayed decision-making, and cancellations. This impact has been so huge that the management has guided for only 4-7% revenue growth for FY24 as client spending is expected to further slow down in the US and Europe. Looks like the fear of recession, which had weighed down on IT stocks last year, has finally started playing out. The numbers have surely disappointed brokerages. Ambit Capital has in fact given a sell rating to the stock, cutting the target price from 1500 rupees to 1340. Current market price of Infosys is 1390. Other brokerages have largely downgraded the stock from a buy to a neutral rating and have cut EPS estimates by 5%. That said, if investors want to buy the stock for long-term gains, Money Control's research team suggests a correction of 12% from the current level can be a good entry point. The country's largest private sector lender, HDFC Bank, also came out with its numbers over the weekend. As expected, it was a strong set of numbers. The bank's net profit grew about 21% to approximately 12,600 crore rupees. Net interest income, which is the difference between interest earned and interest expended, grew 23.7% for quarter four. The company's capital ratios also remain healthy, with the capital adequacy ratio reported at 19.3%, which is much higher than the regulatory requirements. Coming to asset quality performance, minor improvement was seen compared to last quarter. Gross non-performing assets came in at 1.12% against 1.23% quarter-on-quarter. Net NPA stood at 0.27% versus 0.33% last quarter. Retail deposits grew 23% year-on-year and 7% quarter-on-quarter. The share of retail deposits in the overall deposit mix stood at 83%, which was slightly lower than previous quarter's 84%. As for the stock, a potential pickup on the margins and progress on the merger are key monitorables. There is fear that the overall banking sector's net interest margins will contract this year as deposits start getting repriced faster. But for now, HDFC Bank has managed to keep its margins stable at 4.3%. As per trendline, the consensus target on the stock is 1943 rupees, which indicates a 14.5% upside from the current market price. Global investment firm Invesco is set to sell 5.65% stake in Zee Entertainment Enterprises today. That's what CNBC TV18 is picking up from sources. The offer price for selling the shares is in the range of 199 to 208 rupees, which takes the total offer size to 1130 crore rupees. Invesco, along with the funds linked to it, was the largest public shareholder in Zee and held as high as an 18% stake in the media company 2 years back. That's when it had called for removal of company's managing director Puneet Goenka. Invesco, however, dropped that demand last year. The company has been recently settling all the disputes that were creating roadblocks for its merger with Sony Pictures Network. IndusInd Bank, Indian Performing Rights Society, that's IPRS, had taken the company to the insolvency court for not clearing dues. Now those have been settled. Last week on Thursday, Puneet Goenka also paid 50.7 lakh rupees as a settlement payment in a case involving insider trading activities. The one case that's pending now is IDBI Bank demanding 150 crore rupees as dues from Zee. The next hearing on this case is scheduled for 24th of April, and going by the trend, the management may decide to settle this case as well to fast-track the merger process. Analysts believe that a re-rating in the stock will happen only when the merger is approved by NCLT. It could lead to 20% upside in the stock from current levels of 208 rupees. In today's Voice of the Day segment, we have Vinay Sharma of Nippon India Asset Management Company. He manages the Focused Equity Fund and the Banking Fund. Listen in to why he believes that banks with strong retail deposits will be the biggest winners in the BFSI space.
So again, on banking sector, we believe we are somewhere in the middle of a good cycle that started a few years back after the NPL crisis in India. And we expect this cycle to continue for the for some time to come. As in, we don't expect either growth to slow down sharply or credit cost issues to come up anytime in the near future. And therefore, banking is going through those good times, and we expect it to continue to do so for some time to come. However, on your specific questions of growth and margin pressures. Obviously, last year was sort of a Goldilocks scenario where growth was really high, margins were also really high, and credit cost was at its lowest in many years that we have seen. And that sort of scenario can't continue for very long. And maybe if global economy faces the challenges that we talked about, growth could slow down to a certain extent. And given the deposit pressures, because of the high credit growth and the liabilities repricing that have happened in the banking system, there could be some marginal margin pressure on banks as well. Having said that, as long as growth is still in decent double digits and profitability continues to remain strong, credit cost continues to be on the lower side, we still believe banking sector can deliver healthy returns from here on, and we are not anywhere close to the end of the good cycle that banking sector has been going through. For a few years, if you go back, say about 2 to 3 years back, we were very clearly saying that we prefer corporate banks over retail banks, whether those corporate banks were the top private sector banks or those corporate banks were some of the top PSU banks. The preference was clearly banks which have gone through the 2015-19 NPL crisis and came out stronger out of that. Those were the banks we were preferring because of the low valuation at that point of time. Now, I think, as I said about large cap and mid cap, the similar sort of situation here, that there is no clear preference. One has to be more stock specific, and probably in financial, there are 5 or 6 large groups in India. So it's more which group is doing better at this point of time. However, one clear preference is because deposits are getting pricier. Banks having high share of retail deposits would tend to do better in this phase of the cycle, because their deposits are more stickier and repricing is lesser compared to wholesale deposits. So banks with stronger CASA franchise, strong retail banking retail deposit franchise, those are the kind of banks that we like. On the other subsectors, we like microfinance. We also like housing finance at this point of time, because we believe the housing cycle that started in India 2 years back can continue to do well over the next 1 or 2 years. Pecking order would be banks with good retail deposit franchise, followed by some of the mid-sized banks which have not re-rated as much. Followed by housing finance companies and microfinance. That is what the pecking order would be in various subsectors in finance at this point.
That's all from us today. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for all your business news updates. Have a great trading day, and we'll catch you tomorrow at the same time.